Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. It is Tuesday, July 9th. 2019, and I'm breathing kind of hard right now. I'm not even going to lie. Connor Mathis is the engineer of this Tuesday edition of Current Sports. Connor, I can't believe I made it on time, dude. You know, cause I literally called Connor probably with about maybe 5 minutes left until showtime.
Try three.
Three?
Give or take.
Wow. And it's crazy because I was down the street near Holden Hall. You know, we record, as you heard my man Chyle say. We record here at the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences on the campus of Michigan State University. And I had a news retreat. You know, our entire news team, and as we get together and do some planning, and we, you know, we powwow a bit. I've been there since 9 a.m., and, you know, next thing you know, it starts to run over. And I'm like, all right, I'll give myself about 15 minutes. And then, you know, I end up talking and going way over my time to talk. And next thing you know, I got like 10 minutes to get from Brody, which is for those who don't know what Brody is, it's a residence hall here on Michigan State's campus, not too far down the road from here, right across the street, actually, down the street from the Breslin Center. So, anyway, I call Connor. I'm like, Connor, if I can't get there on time, just start the show. Let the audience know I'm coming. I'll be there soon and start the headliners. And I was able to sprint from where I parked at, which is the parking structure right next to the building, from there to here with literally probably about like 10 or 15 seconds to spare. So I'm a little out of breath. Thank goodness I'm a pretty in shape brother. All right. And I go to the gym just about every day, but I made it, Connor. You said you may have to clock my 40 time. Yeah. Usain Bolt.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
And I know you were ready. You were ready to start the show without me, but I'm on time, baby. I'm on time. All right. So, a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. A lot to get to. I'm excited to dive into some college football talk. You know, it's rare when I get a chance to do that in July, because we still got a little while. It's not that far too down the road. You know, when we are going to be talking about Michigan State football, we're going to be breaking down the schedule. You know, ushering in that very first game here on the campus of MSU at Spartan Stadium. College football will be here before you know it. But it's very rare when I talk college football in the month of July, just because there's really no news other than like people trying to predict, you know, who's going to end up in the college football playoff, who's going to win conferences, over under for certain teams. And we're going to play around with that conversation a bit when it comes to who will win more games between Michigan State football and Michigan football. But I want to talk about Shea Patterson, former University of Michigan quarterback. Shea Patterson made headlines yesterday, and I didn't know about this story until Connor Mathis, after we got off the air. What Connor showed me, the Twitter handle of Shea Patterson, and how he was kind of caught up in some like Kevin Durant-esque burner account Twitter story. All right, so it's very interesting, and it got so much attention and so much traction that Shea actually came out and addressed the tweet, calling it nonsense. All right, so I'll get to that. Trust me, it's a pretty juicy story. And as I just promised as well, we'll dive into Michigan and Michigan State football and their respective odds to win concerning Vegas. There's also a new update concerning what led our show yesterday, that being Russell Westbrook possibly becoming a member of the Detroit Pistons. There are other teams in the market, though, for Russ. I'll give you an update concerning that story. And then on the back end of the show, I want to talk about a certain golfer who has decided to pull out of the British Open because the PGA Tour will not allow him to use a golf cart, which he kind of needs because he's not, you know, he's for health reasons concerning this golfer, all right? So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, so you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start here with Moneyball resuming tonight. That's right, every Tuesday and Thursday evening at the Aim High Sports Complex in Diamonddale, Michigan. You can catch some summer league action here in the mid-Michigan area. This is the 16th annual Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League put on by the great Desmond Ferguson, the founder of the league and the founder of course, Moneyball Sportswear. Today, you can catch Team Cosmic taking on Team Freeze at 6 p.m. Also at 7 p.m., again, three games every Tuesday and Thursday. At 7 p.m., Team Roots will play Team Citron. And then at 8 p.m. to close out the night, Team Exclusive will take on Team Dimension. And again, you want to be in the house every Tuesday and Thursday because you don't know who's going to show up. You know, during the opening day of Moneyball, we saw former Michigan State forward great, who's now tearing it up for the NBA's Charlotte Hornets, Miles Bridges, also the league's biggest attraction in its 16-year history, Miles Bridges. He shows up, and then you have Nick Ward also show up on that same day. Nick Ward now playing in the NBA Summer League as well for the Atlanta Hawks. So you just never know who's going to show up, you know. I remember the year that Jabari Parker of the Milwaukee Bucks, formerly of the Milwaukee Bucks, he ended up coming to the gym and just popping up and getting a run in and went off. So you just never know who's going to show up. That's why, you know, you must attend every Tuesday and Thursday the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League. It's fun stuff, all right? So, again, 6 p.m., three games at 6, 7, and 8 tonight. All right, a pair of rookie sensations. The Mets' Pete Alonso and the Blue Jays' Vladimir Guerrero Jr., former Lansing Lugnut Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they duked it out in the final round of an epic derby at Cleveland's Progressive Field last night. When it was all said and done, it was Alonso actually besting Vlad Jr. to claim the trophy. But, you know, the semifinal was even more intriguing as Peterson went down to the wire with Vlad Guerrero Jr., where they had to go on like a two-set playoff. It was amazing, where I believe each one hit, you know, somewhere closer, more than like 40 homers. Just unbelievable stuff. And I really thought Vlad was gonna pull it out, but I think that semifinal matchup against Peterson really just took a lot out of him. Again, at the end of the day, though, it was Alonso that claimed the Home Run Derby Championship trophy. All right. He also like had a really cool chain to rock around his neck as well. So tonight, the Fall Classic will get underway at 7:30 p.m. The NL All-Star team taking on the AL All-Star team. Again, 7:30 p.m. You can catch that one on Fox. All right, Matt Costello, the former forward for Michigan State Hoops. He scored 20 points and grabbed 8 rebounds to lead the Detroit Pistons past the Indiana Pacers 102-84. Your final on Monday in summer league play at Cox Pavilion out in Las Vegas. Now, Costello went 6-for-7 from the floor as the Pistons improved to an undefeated 3-0. Detroit wraps up the preliminary round tomorrow against the Philadelphia 76ers. You can catch that one at 3 p.m. seen on NBA TV. But really cool stuff watching Matt Costello go for a 20-piece against Indiana. Heck, maybe Matt can work his way into a NBA roster spot. That's awesome stuff for him. Okay, so Michigan State football news. Big Ten Media Days right around the corner out in Chicago next week, actually. And Michigan State football seniors Joe Bocci, Raekwon Williams, and Kenny Willekes will all join head coach Mark D'Antonio at Big Ten Football Media Days. Again, next week out in the Shy. Now, all three players skipped the NFL draft to return to Michigan State for their final year of eligibility. The Spartans media session will be on July 18th. And Michigan State opens the 2019 season against Tulsa on August 30th inside of Spartan Stadium. Again, right around the corner, folks. Just a little over than a month now when we're talking about Michigan State football. But again, Bocci, Willekes, and Williams, all defensive players, representing Michigan State football at Big Ten Media Days. Awesome stuff there. Okay, and quick correction here. I was thinking of Brandon Peters as the former quarterback of the University of Michigan. But Shea Patterson is still on the roster. I said that former U of M quarterback Shea Patterson was involved in a Twitter controversy, but he's still on that roster for Jim Harbaugh's team. But let's just explain the controversy here for a bit. Patterson, again, he's at the center of a social media controversy over the weekend, one so big that he felt the need to address it himself. The Michigan QB took to Twitter late on Sunday, calling an apparent message earlier in the day from his verified account. So this tweet that he is trying to clear up came from his own account. And the tweet is getting so much traction, and he's coming out and trying to clear things up because that tweet criticized Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields and his head coach. That's right, Jim Harbaugh. So, Shea Patterson is calling the tweet, quote, nonsense now. But in it, screen grabbed by self-proclaimed meme Twitter page, college football quotes, Patterson appears to reply to Twitter user at Basket Bowl Season asking why he was ranked so high on a 2-4 sports list of the top 10 college QBs in the country for 2019. This is what the tweet from Patterson's account at 5:02 p.m. that day wrote in response to that. Quote, Patterson is going to be the best QB in the conference. Fields hasn't even played a snap yet. That kid's so overrated. Then the tweet goes on. It gets worse. Quote, Shea would have won the Heisman last season if Harbaugh had let him call the plays. Are you kidding me? You can humble yourself. Yeah. Ray from Indiana, humble yourself, right? I mean, this is the total opposite of humble. And now again, Shea Patterson says that this tweet is nonsense. He doesn't know how it got there, even though it did come from his verified Twitter account. So it reminds me so much of Kevin Durant, because remember Kevin Durant, I guess Shea, kind of like we were talking about yesterday, Shea forgot to switch the account to his burner profile, to his burner account to back him up. That's what it looks like here. And again, he's since deleted it, but, you know, it came from his verified Twitter account. And it just reminds me so much of Kevin Durant, because you're trying to go on Twitter and defend yourself, but you can't do that with your own account. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Just, but he keeps like, they're claiming that it was that someone just made a fake tweet and did a screenshot of it. So it's weird. I don't know how much I buy into that, you know.
Right, right.
Especially since that's the go-to defense. I was hacked. It was a fake tweet.
I'm with you, man.
It seems to be a trend in sports.
I got some further thoughts on that very topic in just a moment, all right? So keep it locked. More on Shea Patterson and his nonsense tweet about Jim Harbaugh and Justin Fields in just a moment. All right, former Detroit Lions and Houston Texans safety Glover Quinn is retiring from the National Football League after enjoying a nearly 10-year career. This is what Quinn wrote in a text message to ESPN. Quote, playing professional sports was always a dream of mine. Football was the route I chose, and God blessed me to be able to persevere through all of the hardships and play 10 years in the NFL. I'm so thankful for the opportunity I had to play in the NFL with such great players and two great organizations. Again, that tweet, see, I'm still stuck on Twitter. That text message being sent to ESPN from former Detroit Lions and Houston Texans safety Glover Quinn, his career coming to an end. He is deciding to retire. All right, Russell Westbrook. You know, we profiled plenty on Monday's Current Sports about how Westbrook wants to be traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder and how the Detroit Pistons are among a few teams that have expressed interest in possibly acquiring Russell Westbrook. Well, an update to that story. The man who knows everything, NBA, the ultimate insider of the association, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, he reports that the Miami Heat have expressed interest in Russell Westbrook, the 2017 MVP. And Westbrook finds the idea of a possible move to the MIA appealing. So Westbrook right now, it looks as though, according to Woj, he is leaning towards South Beach and not the D. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. And a quick update concerning Serena Williams at Wimbledon. You know, and I brought to you the story yesterday about, you know, how I was really pulling for Corey Coco Gauff as she was eliminated. Was it 2 days ago now? But Serena Williams is still in it. And Serena Williams has moved on, playing in the quarterfinal, beating Risque. Do we know the first name of that opponent? Connor, that's all I was trying to Google on the fly here. I just see Risque here. Serena needing three sets to pull out that victory. 6-4 in favor of Williams in that first set. Second set, 6-4 in favor of Risque. And the third set, 6-3 in favor of Williams. So Allison Risque, as Connor chimes in my ear, Allison Risque defeated by Serena Williams. Serena moves on. And when it comes to the men's Wimbledon, Roger Federer, he has also moved on. That was yesterday's match. Roger Federer has moved on. Novak Djokovic also has moved on in the round of 16. And Rafael Nadal, all three, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, the three big names in the world of men's professional tennis, all three moving on from the round of 16, making it look easy against each and every one of their opponents. So we'll see what happens as Wimbledon continues. That does it for your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch and comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Okay, Connor, real quick, before we get to this whole Shea Patterson nonsense, and again, multiple ways in which you can listen. Thank you so much for turning on that radio to WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Many of you right now tuned into our live stream. A big shout out to Alex, Isaiah, Ben, and Steven. Thank you guys so much. Also, Mike, I see you, Mike. Many of you commenting on our Facebook page. And I just read, I was going through as we, you know, took that brief pause after our headliners, Connor. One of our dear viewers on Facebook mentioned former Michigan State football player Malik McDowell. Steven, actually, in the comment section said Malik McDowell got into trouble again with the police. Have you seen this latest story? I'm just now seeing this. I don't know how I missed this. Well, I do know how. I was in a news meeting. I've been in a news meeting all morning. I do know how, because this apparently broke. TMZ Sports, of course, TMZ Sports is everywhere. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know. That staff is just insane. You better check your email, Connor. They may try and steal you from me tomorrow.
TMZ Sports.
They are everywhere. Do they? I mean, I don't understand how. Because if you look at anything breaking, like anything controversial breaking in the world of sports or even entertainment, TMZ somehow, some way, is not just reporting on it first. But they have video and they're getting audio clips. It's amazing what they do over there, man. It's insane.
Well, they do pay for something for a lot of that audio and video stuff. That's how they got the Ray Rice stuff that put them on the map.
Right, that is true. They do pay for a lot of it, and you won't find a lot of news organizations out there that are going to pay for content to be, you know, number one. But again, you got to build that thing, though. I mean, you have to build up that rep. And Harvey, the guy who runs it, I know he's an attorney, so he's got some moolah to do that kind of stuff, I guess. So, but anyway, that aside, Malik McDowell is in some more trouble here. And again, I am just now seeing this. There is a video that I'm watching right now of some kind of convenience store that looks to be in shambles, a lot of things on the floor, and Malik McDowell being taken away by, like, if I'm counting correctly here, about three or four cops.
Yeah, he tried fighting him after getting tased.
Yeah, and I'm seeing here. Yeah, he gets tased. I'm seeing him on his knees right now, and the cop has a taser out pointed at him. I guess he's already been shot with it. You know, he doesn't seem to be stunned or anything like that. It's like he's just walking right through it. The convenience store is in shambles, and this cop is trying to get close to Malik to try and put him in handcuffs, and then Malik, you know, he freaks out again, and he starts to wrestle with the police officer. They get into a tussle. Malik McDowell was really lucky that he didn't, that this didn't end horrifically. I mean, he's attacking a police officer, multiple police officers here, and most of the time, especially with an African-American man, you do something stupid like that, your life could end. I mean, Malik McDowell is lucky right now looking at this video. And again, I am just now seeing this. I am seeing this for the first time right here live on the air. This could have ended very, very badly. So reading from the piece here from TMZ Sports, it says that a routine traffic stop turned into a violent war inside of a gas station. So it's a gas station. With a massive NFL player fighting a cop after being hit with a taser, and TMZ Sports has the unbelievable video. A police officer in Lathrop Village, Michigan. So this is in Michigan. This is Lathrop Village. My stepdad owns a condo in Lathrop Village. I probably know where this gas station is. Wow. Pulled over 23-year-old Malik McDowell, 6'6", 300-pound defensive tackle, on a snowy February night after he witnessed McDowell's Jeep spinning out on the road after speeding. During the stop, which took place in front of a gas station, the officer ordered McDowell to stay seated in his car, but Malik disobeyed and repeatedly demanded to speak with a supervisor. As the officer continues to verbally engage with McDowell, who was selected by the Seattle Seahawks in the second round of the 2017 NFL draft after playing for Michigan State, he tries to leave his vehicle and walk into the gas station convenience store. The cop grabs McDowell and tells him to put his hands behind his back. But again, McDowell disobeys and begins to fight back against the officer. And again, the video is there. I just watched the video as I'm talking to you all. And Malik knocks over shelves of food in the process. The officer repeatedly warns McDowell to stand down or else he would be tased. Once McDowell's on the ground, the officer instructs him to get on his stomach, but the NFL player refuses, so the cop deploys his taser. That's when McDowell rips out the prongs while he's being tased. That sounds like a superhero or something like that, Connor. He gets tased. He rips out the prongs that tased him, basically walked through the taser, and then he attacks the officer. The two wrestle around the store until backup officers eventually arrive and help take McDowell into custody. At one point during the struggle, McDowell tells the officer, quote, "Don't shoot me." The backup officer who helped subdue McDowell later wrote in a police report that Malik, quote, "grabbed for my gun as I was trying to grab his arm," end quote. Cops say McDowell had a strong odor of intoxicants emanating from his persons, but they did not specify if they smelled alcohol or drugs. McDowell was eventually charged with 2 counts of felony assault and resisting, 1 misdemeanor count of operating while intoxicated, and misdemeanor driving on a suspended license. They also obtained a warrant to take a blood sample from McDowell, so he was taken into a nearby hospital for a blood draw, and officers also noted that McDowell was verbally abusive during the process. So the results of the blood draw were not included in the police report. The arresting officer, he claims he suffered minor injuries in the altercation, including scratches on his hand, but he was otherwise fine. And McDowell was actually arraigned back in May, but he's due back in court later this month. And if you remember, McDowell has had multiple legal problems. He's also been accused of concealing a stolen truck back in April, a story that we brought to you all when it was made public. So, again, I'm still digesting this, Connor, but watching that video, again, watching it in real time as I'm on the air, this could have ended badly. Because, I can't dispute what the cop said here. The backup officer saying that Malik grabbed for my gun as I was trying to grab his arm. That's exactly what it looks like in the video. And there is actually even a screen grab in the TMZ Sports piece that shows McDowell's left hand going for the backup officer, the female officer's gun, which is on her right hip. You know, and I, just organic reaction here, not having prepped anything, because I'm just now seeing this. How idiotic is Malik McDowell? I mean, how stupid can you be? Because, folks, I'm all about second chances. Sometimes even third on a crazy day. But when it comes to the amount of issues that have gone down and Malik McDowell has been involved with in his life, you would think he would know better. And to wrestle around with cops, the first thing that comes to my mind as an African-American male, to wrestle around with cops the way Malik McDowell did. Again, Malik McDowell dodged a bullet here. Literally dodged a bullet here, because when you read stories like this, when you watch videos like this, it normally ends tragically. I feel bad for this young man. He is immensely talented. You know, in the National Football League, future, you know, a very bright future playing in the league, I thought. But with something like this, I don't see, Connor, how any NFL team. Has he been cut yet? Because he's getting cut.
He's been cut because of that injury. Okay. He had to do that settlement with Seattle.
Okay.
That ATV injury. Yeah, he's been done in the NFL.
The ATV injury. That is why, you know, there was a lot of controversy around that pick for them. Because of the injury and whether or not Malik McDowell would even play, which was also a stupid incident, right? I mean, come on, dude.
You kind of learned.
I think the injury happened after he was drafted, but it was the timetable was they were really close to one another.
Goodness gracious, man. Yeah, a part of me feels bad, but a part of me doesn't. Because, you know, you should know better, man. You are an NFL draft pick. You get injured. I get that. But you would think that you would just stay out of trouble, man. You know, and now, again, it's easy for me to sit behind this mic. I'm not an athlete. You know, I'm not this big-time prospect who you know, was a pick in the NFL or the NBA or whatever sport, right, and has millions, you know, sitting at my feet, basically. But I would imagine that if I'm in that position, not even imagine, I know if I was in that position, I would tread lightly wherever I go. Some guys, you know, what's that old? We have an old saying. And I'm pretty sure many of you have heard it. You know, you can take them out the hood, but you can't take the hood out of them. This is a classic example of that when it comes to Malik McDowell. So, wow, what a thank you, Steven. Thank you for that comment, man. I did not see that story until you mentioned that in our comment section. And looking at it, yeah, you're right, Connor. Right now, Malik McDowell, he was waived by the Seahawks in July 2018 after suffering a concussion and nose facial injuries in that ATV accident. He is currently a free agent and had a visit with my Dallas Cowboys back in March. So, there you have that. All right, what I want to do, I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on Malik McDowell. If you have thoughts on Malik McDowell, if you've seen the video, if you've seen this story, I'm just now seeing it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKARnews. I'll read a few of your comments there in just a moment. You can also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. We'll get your comments on this Malik McDowell craziness. And also, you'll get my thoughts on Shea Patterson, quarterback of the University of Michigan, looking to have, looks like he made a big mistake. He didn't switch to his burner account when trying to respond to a certain Twitter message. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A few coming in concerning the story that I just recapped and read, honestly, for the first time, courtesy of TMZ Sports, and that is Malik McDowell, the video being released of Malik McDowell, former Michigan State football player, being arrested, being tased during an altercation with the police in Lathrop Village, Michigan, which is the Metro Detroit area, on a snowy February night. Just disturbing stuff. I really feel bad for the young man. He clearly needs help. A few comments coming in here. Alex says he's going to get help, Al. It's called jail. Yeah. I think that'll probably wake him up, hopefully, right? If jail don't do it, I don't know if anything will. I think he needs some therapy too, man. Ben says Malik needs some major help. Mike says, man, he has some issues that really need to be addressed. And Mike also says that Malik McDowell is lucky to be alive. He really is. Again, you look at that video, you're tussling with police and you're reaching for somebody's gun. You're reaching for a cop's gun. They had every right to maybe pull out that weapon and use it. I mean, my goodness, just really, really sad stuff. On a much lighter note, because I saw Ben also commenting about what we watched last night in the Home Run Derby. Was that fun? The round between Jock Peterson and Vlad Guerrero Jr., that was one of the most entertaining moments in the history of the Home Run Derby. I mean, I had it on, and I'm doing some work, but I had to stop what I was doing and lock in to what I was watching between Vlad and Jock during that moment. I mean, it went to not one but two playoffs. They needed two playoffs to decide who was going to make it into the final. Now, at the end of the day, it was Vlad that ended up booking his ticket to that final, and he eventually, you know, he came up just a bit short in the home run derby final, but that was really, really fun to watch. Really fun to watch. Pete Alonso ended up winning the thing last night, but even Pete had to admit that, man, you know, he was just glad that he didn't have to face Vlad Guerrero, because, you know, maybe Vlad was a bit tired after knocking 40 home runs in the semifinal, right? But Pete says that he was just glad that he didn't have to face Vlad in the semifinal, because he probably wouldn't have won the home run derby. Incredibly entertaining. And also, again, Fall Classic is tonight, 7:30 p.m. on Fox. Justin Verlander has made headlines today, though. I don't know if you guys saw this story. JV, the former Detroit Tigers ace, now, of course, balling out and having a really good year with the Houston Astros. JV is making headlines because he on Monday blamed Major League Baseball's uptick in home runs on baseballs that have supposedly been juiced. Yeah, folks. Verlander made the claim during an interview with ESPN. He surmised that baseball have been juiced or altered because they are manufactured by an MLB-owned company. And he was very candid here. Quote, "It's a bleeping joke. Major League Baseball's turning this game into a joke. They own Rawlings, and you've got MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred up here saying it might be the way they center the pill. They own the bleeping company," Verlander said. He goes on, quote, "We all know what happened. Manfred, the first time he came in, what'd he say? He said, we want more offense. All of a sudden, he comes in. The balls are juiced. It's not coincidence. We are not idiots." So, as reported by Deadspin, though, a spike in home runs has been observed for at least 2 years now. And MLB purchased Rawlings just last summer. So, I don't know how foolproof JV's theory is here, Connor. And who knows? I don't know who the company was prior to Rawlings. But, you know, maybe baseball is looking at this and saying, because I think that baseball is in such a desperate situation here to draw eyeballs to its sport, because we all know baseball ratings have been steadily declining year after year after year. Especially the game isn't resonating with today's youth anymore. It's just not. You know, you don't see kids playing baseball in our local communities anymore like they did back in the 60s, 70s, even the 80s. You don't see that anymore. And the attention spans of our youth are so short that, one, what kid is going to sit there through 3 hours of baseball and be totally locked in without cracking out that smartphone and going on Snapchat or Instagram or something like that, right? And because it's so slow, it's just not appealing to today's youth. So ratings are down every single year, and I think that Rob Manfred and the upper execs of baseball are going to try. They're trying everything and anything right now to try and make the game more appealing. And, you know, there's been a lot of talks, Connor, about reducing how many games they play from 162 down to something like, I don't know, 80 or something like that, because it's just way too many games. They've tried speeding up the game with, you know, limiting how many visits to the mound you have and limiting warm-up pitches when a new pitcher comes in. But that can only do so much to speed up the game. But can you really blame baseball if they decided to alter it a bit and say, you know what, okay, people want offense, let's give them more offense. Let's juice the balls a bit. Even though, that goes against the integrity of the sport. You can't do that. And they can't come out, even if they are doing it, they can't come out and say, yeah, we are juicing the balls. That's like cheating. You can't do that. That's not fair, right?
Is it cheating if everyone's getting the same advantage, though?
Now you bring up a really good question.
Every
really
single team question. is using the juiced ball. I mean,
okay, from juiced ball to juiced human being. So I ask this, where do you fall when it comes to the steroid user in baseball?
Well, not everyone's using steroids. So if you're using steroids, you're cheating.
This is the thing. This is what I've always argued, Connor. if one or two players are using steroids, why not just not even test for it and allow it in the game? Because you know what? It's not fair to the guy who isn't using it to have to go out there against a man who has a clear advantage in the game because he is being juiced up. It's just like, you know, I guess everybody should be doing it then. It's not fair. So, again, it's this is a totally different conversation when you talk about juice balls and juiced human beings. I think there's different layers and different components to those arguments. But I'm with you, man. I mean, is it an advantage if everybody is getting the same baseball thrown at them across home plate?
If everyone's getting the same baseball, then the equipment's level. Then you're fine. Right. But with steroids, right, you have no confirmation that everyone's doing it.
Right,
even if it ends up being like some ridiculous number, like if 30% of the league is just, that's a complete random number. If 30% of the league's doing it, that's still not everyone. So that's still a competitive advantage. That would be more along lines of cheating, in my opinion.
Exactly. I hear you. But I have no problem with baseball saying, you know what, this game is way too long. People want offense. People want it sped up. I have no problem with them trying some new things. I also wonder, how do you juice a baseball? Like, what do you do? What do you, like, put a cork in it or something?
Make it lighter? I don't know.
Make it lighter? I have no idea. I would love to
decrease the density. I don't know.
Yeah, we may have to get like a maker of baseballs on here. We may have to get like a rep from Rawlings on Current Sports to break down how you juice a baseball. But JB doesn't like it. Of course he doesn't, because he's a pitcher. You know, he makes his cheese by trying to get strike. And so it's not fair to pitchers, though. It's not fair to pitchers, Connor. So you can make that argument as
okay,
well.
But
I mean, if a pitcher out there is trying to make his cheese.
But you can get better. But the thing is, you can adapt your pitchers. Like, down the line, you can change the adjustment and adjust the pitchers. Everyone's hitting the same ball, though. Your offense is coming that way.
Yeah, but if everybody is just making minimal contact with that ball and that ball is flying off the bat, that's not fair to the pitchers.
Yeah, but every pitcher's still having to deal with it, though. So it's still equal. Every single pitcher's having to deal with it. Every single hitter's having to deal with it. So someone has to adapt.
But that devalues the pitcher. The pitcher as a whole. The pitcher as a position in baseball. I mean, it's like, okay, well, we're not going to spend a bunch of money on pitchers anymore, and we're going to just spend a bunch of money on solid hitters in the game.
Well, isn't that okay?
That affects your pocketbook.
Different from equipment. Is back in the day when basketball went and added the 3-point shot. That's a disadvantage to big men. That devalues big men in the league, does it not?
That's different.
I don't know. But no, that's a game changer. You're shifting from one style to a different style. So not everyone's a pitcher in baseball, though.
That doesn't devalue the big man, though, because the big man can still go out there, and if you're good, you can still go out there, bang, and get 2 points.
Yeah, but who's making more? But nowadays, who's making more money? If you can shoot and hit threes constantly, or if you're down low.
That's just because the game has changed. If you still got a good big man who can dominate down low, hey, I mean, that's like finding a diamond in the rough now.
But they're still not making, what I'm saying is they're still not going to make the same money as the guy who can hit outside jumpers more. It's a change of the game of the style of the game.
It's
NFL,
making it easier for hitters. It's like, even if the game is changing in basketball, if you want to make this comparison, if the game is changing in basketball to become more of a shooter's league, which it is now, you still have to, not everybody is a great shooter. You still have to work on the craft of shooting the basketball, shooting the rock. When it comes to baseball, I mean, a lot of these guys are already big-time hitters. That's why they're in the major league. So if you just make minimal contact with the bat and that thing is flying off, that's a totally different argument. You know what I mean? That's a totally different argument, in my opinion, Connor. It makes it easier for the batter. Still, if it's a shooter's league, still the craft of shooting isn't becoming easier, where the craft of going to that to home plate and knocking out a home run is becoming easier. That's not fair to the pitcher throwing
the ball. All right, fine. We'll disregard the style of the game. But what about, let's go with a different equipment argument. The enhanced gloves that NFL receivers now wear, that gives them an advantage
It does.
That gives them a huge advantage over years past.
I've always questioned that. That's not fair. Some of those gloves, I walk around.
Those ones are insane.
The local sporting, realms around, the sporting equipment companies around here in the Lansing area. And I was at one not too long ago, and I'm walking around. I'm like, let me go check out the football equipment, because I play flag football from time to time. So I'm like, let me go see what kind of cleats they got. And they had the football gloves over there, and I pick up the gloves, and I'm like,
they'll pick up anything.
Stick 'em.
Anything.
I'm like, how is this allowed in the game? But But
gives them an advantage.
In the same argument here, it's about offense. Mm-hmm. People like miraculous catches like Odell Beckham Jr. behind his head with gloves on. People like seeing that stuff, so it's good for the game. It's good for money. That's all it's about. It's about entertainment. But I feel JV, though, because he's a pitcher. That's how he makes his cheese. If it's becoming harder for him to strike out guys and easier for those who approach him at home plate to knock out home runs, that's not really fair. I don't know. Thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. A few comments coming here. Ben says they are not juiced. The players are just that good. I don't know. I think it's a combination. I think that right now, and they talked about this a bit on the Home Run Derby broadcast last night. I don't know if you watched it at all, Connor, but the announcers were talking about how these guys are bigger and they're faster, they're stronger. Just like I hear the same thing in football, the same thing in basketball. The athlete today, due to a lot of different reasons, nutrition becoming better, workout, technology and the knowledge that we have more about working out and the human body in general. Athletes are becoming more athletic, faster, stronger. So I see that, but to a certain extent. So Ben doesn't believe they're juiced. Alex says the laces are clearly tighter and the core is lighter. See, I wouldn't know. I don't play baseball. I can't remember the last time I held a baseball in my hand. So I would like to hold one of those baseballs in my hand to see. Also, let's see here. Ben says they feel the same to me. So, I don't know.
You're always going to have athletes complain about equipment changes. I mean, you saw it in the NBA when they changed basketballs a while back. Yeah. They'd be like, oh, this is affecting my shooting. This doesn't feel right.
This is
a cheap basket. I mean, people are going to complain about that.
Exactly. I'm with you. Yeah, I remember when they tried to change the basketball and like the early 2000s,
yeah.
I think it was.
They changed it, and Shaq called it one of those cheap indoor-outdoor basketballs.
Yeah, because they changed the grooves, yep, and everything. I actually
they changed it from balls. They changed it from leather to
and,
that.
And there were just so many complaints.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thoughts on that. And let's just say, hypothetically, if the baseballs are juiced, do you have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with Major League Baseball catering to more offense to try and draw more eyeballs to the respective television screens? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. I promise you, I'm going to get to Shea Patterson right now. Shea Patterson and this whole Twitter situation. I'll also comment on MSU and Michigan football odds to win. You may be surprised with what a few media sources out there are predicting for both of those squads come this fall on the gridiron. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. About 9 minutes left here in the hour. You know, on yesterday's show, just to quickly address this, on yesterday's show, we talked a lot about the possibility of my beloved Detroit Pistons getting Russell Westbrook, one of the dynamic superstars in the league today. He's a former MVP of the NBA. He is a walking triple-double on any given night. I think this is a great move. I just don't think now, Connor, I don't think they're going to get him. I think that Russ, again, with reading these reports from Woj, and that's the thing, Woj knows his stuff. I trust Woj. It looks as though he's leaning toward playing for your Miami Heat. So it's. I just wanted to dream a little bit on yesterday's show because it looked legit. I mean, the Pistons are... they are legitimately inquiring about him. But, you know, let's be honest here. If you had to choose between Detroit and the Pistons and the weather and the cold and the snow in comparison to Miami, where it's beautiful all the time, in South Beach. I mean, that's what in part attracted LeBron James to South Beach, along with, of course, playing with his good buddy Dwayne Wade. But Miami is Miami. You know, you got Miami, and then you got Detroit. So, yeah, I think he's going to go to the Heat. I really do believe that. Okay. Am I right or am I wrong? If you're Russell Westbrook here, do you think he's not going to go to Detroit, right?
I still think it's a toss up. I think it's about what really? I think not basically on what he wants. If he gets it his way, I think he's going to end up in Miami. But on return, and if you really think about it, I think the Pistons and the Heat can both offer good packages to Oklahoma City to help them in their rebuild, and I think it will come down to what Oklahoma City is feeling. Like, they want to do right by Westbrook, yeah, but also you're getting into a rebuild. You're gonna need pieces. You're gonna need assets, and right now the Miami Heat don't have a first round pick to give. They have young assets, but I think it's a question of what does OKC value more? Do they value more of the players and try to do it that way, or do they value more of the picks and see what they can do with that? So I think it'll come down to whoever gives the better offer. But I think Westbrook personally would prefer Miami to Detroit.
And that sentence is the key for me, Connor, because I think that, you know, you look at the management of the OKC Thunder, and I do feel like that organization feels a bit bad right now, because the report came out that OKC wanted to trade Russell Westbrook and Paul George to Toronto. And I think when Westbrook learned that, he's like, what? That's actually a Westbrook drop. What? You know, do we have that on cue? We could probably play that right now.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
I think that was exactly Westbrook's reaction when he found out that, hold on, what? I've given you all these years. I have been the most loyal Thunder in the last, like, you know, 5 to 8 years, and you want to trade me? I think that the organization feels guilty about that. Now they're going to do whatever Russ wants to do. You know, I think that, okay, you want to go to Miami? All right, we'll find a package to put in place to do right by you, and we'll send you to Miami. That's where I think they're at with it. Okay, this whole Shea Patterson story. You heard me in the headliners talk about how Shea Patterson has come out and addressed the tweet that came from his verified account. He addressed that tweet, calling it nonsense. The tweet reads as this, quote, Patterson is going to be the best QB in the conference. Fields, meaning Justin Fields of Ohio State, Fields hasn't even played a snap yet, and that kid's so overrated. Shea would have won the Heisman last season if Harbaugh had let him call the plays. So it looks like a burner account here. And there's another layer, Connor, that you brought up during our second break here. What is the latest update concerning this whole Twitter nonsense that you've read?
So basically, when this thing came out, they were trying to figure out if it was a fake tweet or not, and it's gotten even more layers to that. Now someone from Awful Announcing is saying that the Twitter account that posted the screen grab of the alleged burner has been noted for making fake tweets in the past. So now there's a decent amount of people who think it's a fake tweet entirely. There's still some people thinking that it was actually a burner, and it's just
hold on. They're saying that. Which account are they talking about?
The tweet itself. It looks like it's from Shea Patterson. The account that got the screen grab before it was deleted was College Football Quotes. And they're the one who made that graphic with the tweet and then Shea Patterson in the background. So what
so it may be
Awful
a
Announcing
tweet.
And a bunch of and some other people are saying is, hey, maybe they made this a fake tweet. Maybe, maybe this is just a fake tweet because they've done this in the past for followers. So it's very confused.
I'm so confused now. My head is hurting.
Well, the other thing, too, is
I don't know what to believe now.
Tough to cipher through because, I mean, if you get caught with a burner, are you going to be the most forthcoming about getting caught with a burner? So it's like,
No.
Every single time an athlete's been caught like this before, it's not like they've been like, oh, yep, that's my burner account.
Right. They're going to deny it. They're going to deny it. Right. But the fact that so it looks like this tweet came from Shea.
Yes.
In the graphic.
Mm-hmm. in the screenshot. So it's really a weird.
It's weird.
It's a weird situation.
That. You can manipulate that on Photoshop. You know what I mean? So, okay.
So who knows?
I don't know. Okay, I don't want to attack Shay. See, I was about to attack Shay before you said that.
There's so many new layers to this. So okay. This should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I won't go at you, Shay. I'll let my listeners do that if they want to. Ray from Indiana. Speaking of listeners, notorious Michigan hater, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up, man?
Well, I was out jogging yesterday, and they had a sporting news. You know what I seen that?
What'd you see in the sporting news, Ray?
They put the Bullies number 5 in the country.
Yeah, yep. A lot of people are high on U of M.
They got Ohio State number 4 and Michigan number 5, and then they got Michigan beating Ohio State for the Big Ten title.
Well, check this, Ray. Connor brought a story to me yesterday that 247 Sports did like an FPI thing. And they have Michigan going undefeated next season. How about that?
Well, look how weak their schedule is year in and year out. But they have to play Army. Army, believe it or not, was 10-2 last year, and they could give them a tough game even in Ann Arbor. Yeah. The Army's got everybody back. I don't know. The only team, they play at Wisconsin. They play at Illinois. Come on, teams like that, nobody's going to beat them like that.
Yeah, they won't be, like, legitimately tested maybe not until, like, Penn State, October 19th, or Notre Dame the week after that on October 26th.
Yeah, they got Notre Dame way. You know why they did that? Because they got knocked out the first game. So they buried them, like, about the sixth, seventh game of the season so they can, you know, get their little sparkling start again.
Yeah,
and
yeah, right.
Fall on their faces like they always do.
So we'll see. But, hey, Ray, we got to go. We only got 30 seconds left. But to lead tomorrow's show, I'm going to address next season's predictions for the Michigan and Michigan State football team. All right, so tune in, man.
Go Buckeyes.
All right, Ray from Indiana. Ray from Indiana. Notorious Michigan hater, Ray from Indiana. All right, folks, 20 seconds left. We bid you all adieu. We have come to that time where I must say goodbye, but we'll be back at it. Same place, same time on the Wednesday edition of Current Sports. Until then, as always, be easy, people.